Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
Well, tonight as we continue on our journey through the core 52 verses identified by author Mark Moore, tonight we come to the end zone verse, the verse everybody knows, John 3:16. And so let me read you this verse. This is actually the theme for our message tonight, John chapter 3, verse 16. This is Jesus speaking, and He says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now, it may be that you memorize that verse in a different translation. I know for me, every time I think about it in the King James, which says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, there's a reason that that is what some have described as the end zone verse. That verse so succinctly describes the message of the gospel. And in so doing, it so succinctly describes the message of the entire Bible that it tells us that there is a God, and it tells us how that God feels about us, and the degree to which that God loves us, and the degree to which that God wants us to be with Him. And so tonight, as we study this core 52 verse, we're going to walk through some major truths that God communicates through this verse and see how God not only strengthens but corroborates those claims through other verses in the Bible. So our first point tonight that I want us to see is this: God loves you. And I know that sounds so tired almost. It sounds so much like a bumper sticker, but I really want you to pause. And I really want you to let that wash over you. God loves you. You, yes, you. He knows everything there is to know about you. He knows all your good days, and He knows all your bad days. He knows all your triumphs, and He knows all of your failures. He knows all of your successes, and He knows all of your struggles. He knows everything there is to know about you, every thought, every word, every deed, every action, every attitude. He knows it all, and He loves you. And to me, that is the most amazing truth in the history of the world. Let me read to you again John 3:16, but let me include John 3:17 as well, because John 3:17 even strengthens and magnifies the message of John 3:16. So hear these words: "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." So here's the degree to which God loves you. He didn't send His Son to come and condemn you. And here's why. He didn't have to. You and I were already condemned because of our sin. God said don't, and we did. God said do, and we didn't. We were sinners, separated from God. And the way that He looked upon us, even as sinners, was to look upon us with love. It's important here to know what Jesus was communicating in the original language. In John's Gospel, the New Testament was written in Greek. And in the Greek, this statement in John 3:16 is that God so loved the world, He so agape loved the world. So the word in Greek is agapeisin. That is the aorist indicative active third person conjugation of agapao. And what agapao means is to love. But it's agape love. What is agape love? Agape love is unconditional love. It is the love with which God has loved us, and it is the love with which God loves us. The only condition of agapao, of agape love, is the decision of the lover to love. So why does God love you? There's only one reason. He chose to, and He chooses to. Even now, He actively chooses to love you. It's not based on anything you've done or haven't done. It's not based on anything you are or are not. It's not based on any of your successes, and it's not hindered by any of your failures. God loves you because God chooses to love you. So this first point seems like it's been shared so many times, oh, God loves you, and it has become so commonplace. But again, pause for a moment and let that sentiment and that truth wash over you. God loves you because He chose to love you. God chooses to love you. There will never be a time when God does not love you. God loves you. The second point, God therefore sent His Son for you. God loves you, and God therefore sent His Son for you. And keep in mind, our condition when God sent His Son for us is summarized succinctly in Romans 5:8. God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not as we were getting better, not when we were trying harder, not when we had gotten over some of those things that formerly separated us from God. No, God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son to die for us, and He gave His only begotten Son to die for us while we were still sinners. Again, His love for us is unconditional, and His sending His Son was based upon His love. And Jesus' death on the cross for us while we were yet sinners was based upon this love. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, the Apostle John writes this, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." I have to tell you, this verse came home to me in a way that it had never come home to me. Right after my wife had given birth to our little boy, our firstborn son, I'll never forget that day. That day we went to the hospital, and I remember thinking, my world will never be the same, and it has not been the same. For the past 13 years, my world has been different. But I guess it's because I'm a preacher, I don't know. But when my son was born, there was a passage of Scripture that came to my mind that I couldn't shake, and that passage was this: "This is my son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." Now, you might recognize that verse as what God the Father spoke over Jesus at the occasion of Jesus' baptism, God the Father bearing witness to the identity of Jesus as the eternal Son of God. "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." And it was so amazing to me. It was amazing to me because my son, who was this little tiny thing, didn't do much. In fact, he didn't do really anything other than cry and sleep and some other things that we won't talk about. But I was so proud of him. I was so proud of him for crying and for sleeping and for stretching and even for the other stuff babies do. I was so proud of him, and I was so enamored with him. It was a bond, and it was a love that was instantaneous, and it was unbelievable. And so all I could say repeatedly, to the degree that my wife kind of got annoyed, she had been through a lot in the last days, was, "This is my son, whom I love, with him I'm well pleased." And at one point she even said, "Look, you're not God the Father and he's not Jesus, you can give it a rest." Well, on our last day in the hospital, we had had all the hospital food we could take. It was good, but we needed a biscuit from a fast food restaurant. So my wife said, "Would you go down the street and pick up a biscuit from one of these fast food restaurants?" And so on my way out, I was going out and getting in her car, that we had taken her car. And going through my mind is this is my son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. This is my son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased. And as I started her car, something unbelievable happened. I'll never forget this as long as I live. The verse switched. And out of nowhere, John 3:16 came into my mind. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son." And I want to tell you, I have cried before, but I don't think I have ever cried as hard as I did in that moment. Because for the first time as a father, I had an even greater sense of the sacrifice that God the Father made for me, the sacrifice that He made for you. I mean, here's this little dude that I'm so proud of for just being him. And I'll be honest with you, if I were called to hand him over to die so that somebody might like me could live, I couldn't do it. And yet that's what God did for us. He handed over His Son to die so that we might live. So God loves you, and God therefore sent His Son for you. So great is the degree of His love for you that He gave His only begotten Son so that through Jesus, you and I might find life. And there's a third point. God desires that you would know Him through His Son. God desires that you would know Him through His Son. In John chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus is praying this amazing prayer just before, honestly, He's arrested to be tried and to be condemned and to be killed. And in John 17, 3, Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." So not only did God love you, and not only did God send His Son for you, but God loved you and sent His Son for you so that you would know Him, and that you would know Him by knowing Jesus, whom He has sent. John chapter 1, verse 18 tells us that no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made Him known. So God became flesh. God sent His Son. God the Son took on flesh to reveal to us God the Father so that we might know Almighty God. In John chapter 14, verse 7 through 9, you remember John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6? "Let not your hearts be troubled. You trust in God, trust also in Me. In My Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" And Jesus said, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come to get you, that where I am, there you may be also." And at that point, Thomas speaks up and he says, "Lord, tell us where You're going. Tell us the way." And Jesus responds by saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me." But then in verses 7 through 9, there's another truth revealed that I want us to get. Jesus says, "If you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. From now on you do know Him and have seen Him." And Philip said to Him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and you still don't know Me, Philip? Whoever has seen Me has seen the Father." And so Jesus has come to reveal to us Almighty God so that we might be in relationship with God through Him. God desires that all people come to knowledge of the truth and be saved. And that's not something I just made up. That's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God, our Savior, desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So God loves you to the degree that He sent His Son so that you might know God through Jesus. I have to tell you, John 3:16 is far and away my favorite verse, and I think I join about a billion or more other people in that sentiment. And maybe it's your favorite verse too, because it so succinctly summarizes that there is a God, and there is a God who loves us. And it tells us the degree to which God loved us, that He gave His only Son. And I pray that you are among that number of whosoever believeth, that you might have everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you've yet to give your life to Jesus, you can do that right now. You can join that number of whosoever believeth in Him by simply saying, "Lord Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner. I have turned away from everything God told me to do, and I've gone my own way. And so I ask You to forgive me. Jesus, I believe You came for me. I believe You died on the cross for me. I believe You rose from the grave 3 days later, and now I surrender my life to You. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I turn away from my sin and receive You. I will trust and follow You in Jesus' name." By praying that simple prayer, if that's the desire of your heart, you can become a member of that number of whosoever believeth in Him that shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And what a joy it is to know that if we're in Christ, He's got a hold of us and He's not ever going to let us go. God loves you. Let's dwell on that love this week. Would you pray with me? Father, we love You and we are so thankful for the great love that You have shown and continue to show to us, that You so loved us that You gave Your only begotten Son. And it is our joy to surrender and to submit to Him. It is our joy to be among that number of whosoever believeth in Him And it is our joy to have everlasting life through Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to live our lives in such a way that your love flows through us to touch others, to bless others around us, that they might know that there's a God in the heavens who loves them too and who offers them eternal life through Jesus Christ. Lord, as we bring this service to a close, once again, we join together our hearts and our minds and our voices to pray that prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, and in so doing, we will answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to worship with us this Wednesday night, and we hope you'll join us this Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for morning worship, or this Sunday evening at 6 p.m. for Vespers. We hope to see you then. God bless you.